Well, morning, guys. It's been a while since I've got to do this. I forget how much of a love-hate relationship this is. I'm going to be jumping around, so don't try to... There's a couple places I'll have you turn to, but don't try to keep up with me. 2 Timothy 3:1-7, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Father, grateful for this opportunity. Lord, I ask that you would help my nerves, help me stay with a clear mind, to be obedient to what you give me as I teach and as I lay these things out that are on my heart. Please prepare each and every one of us for change, a desire to change, a desire to follow you in the direction that you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. The list of things I just read, it's happening everywhere. It's all around us. All around us, every day. Sorry, I got to take these on and off so I can see you and see the words. a clinical psychologist, Jordan Peterson, said on a Jocko Willink podcast, "A harmless man is not a good man. A good man is a very dangerous man who has that under voluntary control." The example was the Beast and Beauty and the Beast. Personally, I feel Jesus is a better example. On page 91, a lot of you guys read this book, The Men We Need. I think follows right along with that same quote. I also feel that for you guys who read this book, I think the quotes on this particular page really captivate what Brandt was trying to get across in the entire book. True masculinity is rooted in our unique role as keepers of our personal gardens, and that we are to protect and defend and help the vulnerable. Then there's a flip side. Becoming a threat to those vulnerable people is treason. So is passivity in the presence of threats to them. And then jumping down, there's no in between for any of us. And I think... For me, what that's saying to me is the whole lukewarm thing where Jesus is going to vomit us out. We don't have that option to just sit on the sidelines and wear the Christian banner and just do nothing. Either we accept our roles or we don't. And that's not just a family thing, it's in how we approach everything. Should be every time we get up in the morning till the time we go to bed, that's how we should approach it all. I did a teaching on knowing your enemy back in 21. As some of you know, Matt just did one. We are at war, and it's time we act like it. Like Matt, this is also something I'm very passionate about. And when Brian asked me to teach... Normally, I struggle with what I'm going to teach on, and it was instant. It was something that God just laid on my heart of having a warrior mindset. And I don't know that Matt's a basketball player, but it's a heck of an alley-oop. Warrior, one who is engaged in or experienced battle. Wikipedia, a warrior is a person specializing in combat or warfare. When we think of that, we think of gun-toting, sword-wheeling, door-kicking types of guys. I think those things are important as far as knowing your responsibility and what you're capable of, but that's not where I'm going with this. Page 95 in a book I read quite a few years ago, actually, Worshipper Warrior, falls in line with the quote from Jordan Peterson and Brandt's page on 91. The word ally means to enter into alliance for some common cause or purpose. Every man needs allies, bloodstained allies, because those are the only kind. Allies without blood in battle aren't worth their salt when tough times come. We need the kind of men who have known deep fear and understand the heart issues of life's battles. When men need a heart-level gut check, real battle-trained friends who won't cut and run under pressure, they are bomb-proof, steady. Men need such men. David had these men. His mighty men, the three. Allies are not men who just go fly fishing together and talk about Bible verses while hiding their pornography habits. What I mean are men we can trust, be honest with, and fight heart battles alongside. I use the term bloodstain for a reason. They are men who identify honestly with each other's personal battles and drop the religious crap at the door. These are men who will call out our sin, share their own, but then stick with us in times of deep struggle. I also stumbled onto a teaching as I was researching all this, and a pastor by the name of Dace Clifton. I'm bringing in all these resources because I'm trying to make a point of all these people. I don't know whether they know each other or not, but one guy's in Texas. I don't know where Brent's from. And Steve Holt, the author of Worshipper Warrior. But the theme in each one of these is it's exactly the same with a slightly different spin. And what Pastor Day says, being a Christian and a warrior are two ideas seldom connected in the modern world. If Christians embrace the ethic and discipline of warriors, our world will see radical change in Christian leadership. I believe that 100%. I think the church is soft. I think we've let tolerance overtake us as a church body as a whole. He goes on to say, however, I'm convinced Christians should be warriors. And what he's getting at, he's not talking about physical violence. He's not talking about bomb makers and all that stuff. He's referring to embracing of a warrior's ethic and mindset. A warrior is humble. Warriors do not feel the need to brag about their own abilities or accomplishments. In fact, pride and arrogance are often viewed as liabilities by many communities of warriors. A warrior doesn't seek validation from the crowd, nor do they care about impressing a stranger. The true warrior knows who they are and what they are capable of. They are not trying to prove themselves. They are already engaged in constant self-examination and refinement. True humility means that you think of yourselves less. A humble person is not self-focused. So humility is not walking around with your head down and just being silent all the time and, you know, trying to look supernaturally meek and all of that stuff. Humility is you know what you're capable of, but it's keeping that within. It's being willing to be poured into, even though you may know something. It's being that listener, allowing yourself to be poured into, not walking around with arrogance and your chest puffed out and all that. Warriors train long hours. Few people become warriors because they are unwilling to pay the real price. Warriors make sacrifice a lifestyle. because these things aren't happening is why we are where we are today in this country. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Jesus is a costly business. Luke 14:27-33, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Everyone here has been witness to, and I'm sure all of you have heard that scripture where Jesus is telling you to count the cost of choosing to follow him. I asked the question, did you? Did you sit down and count the cost? Because when you said yes, you made the decision to align yourself with him. You made an alliance to fulfill his cause and his purpose. We are allies, you and I, grafted into the same tree. John 15:1-27 and Romans 11:17-24. David was an awesome warrior in so many ways, but Jesus is the ultimate warrior. Matthew 21:12-13 and Mark 11:15-18, where he goes in and flips the tables because they're selling things for profit instead of for spiritual gain. That alone is a warrior mindset, going in and being just. Matthew 4:1-11 talks about him fasting for 40 days. I don't know if you guys have ever tried fasting, but that takes some dedication and determination and a lot of prayer to, at least for me, it's not easy for me. Luke 22:44, Jesus prayed so earnestly that he sweat blood. I can honestly tell you I have tried, failed. I can't produce the blood drops, but just it just goes to show, if you've ever had a family member or somebody dear to you that needs prayer or something yourself is going through, I'm sure, I hope, that you've prayed with a fervent earnesty, and whether there were tears or emotions or whatever, take that to a whole nother level. His earnesty produced blood coming out of his pores. It's just mind-boggling to me that how much of a warrior, when you look at these things, that he really dove in. John 8:1-11, he writes in the sand, he stands up before the Pharisees against a woman who's being accused of adultery, but they choose not to bring the other partner in that. And he stands up once again in front of the public and publicly, all by himself, draws that line in the sand and writes whatever he wrote to them. Jesus is a lion. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Revelation 19:11, which I'm going to actually read this one. If you want, go to that one with me. Revelation 19, starting at verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus is a lion, fierce and mighty, but he's also a lamb perfectly released at the perfect times, exactly matching up with the references I've read to you. Everything in all of these references talks about holding all of that in under voluntary control, knowing when to release the lion, knowing when to be the lamb. There are countless acts of Jesus being a warrior in the Bible, the ultimate example. Are you willing to have a warrior's mindset? Again, the few examples of that are training long hours, being willing to pay the price, being willing to sacrifice, and choosing to have sacrifice be a lifestyle. Training long hours, in the words, studying, giving your time to educate yourself and developing a relationship with God, being one with Him. It's going to be an easier way to do this. Prayer and fasting, practice and self-sacrifice. Never ceasing in prayer, hours of training and discipline. Never ceasing in prayer, meaning having the ability right now while I'm talking to you and still praying and communicating with God. You guys listening or at work or wherever, that you're able to communicate with God while you're doing that, kind of setting yourself apart from the tasks at hand. I don't take that as I'm great at this. I'm still trying to master that, but it takes training and a desire to sacrifice yourself in the sense that it's hard to explain. It can be so distracting from what you're doing and trying to maintain that constant communication. Laying hands on people, stepping out in faith, serious courage, in the sense where if you're being told to lay hands on somebody and you're afraid that you're going to be made a fool of because it didn't work or whatever the case, but stepping outside of yourself and recognizing that it's not about you, it's about the person that God is leading you to lay hands on and pray over. Paying the real price, your time, praying for others, for your country, for people you don't know, with the same fervent effort you would for close family members. A quick little prayer doesn't cut it. Be persistent. I'm going to jump to Luke 18. Starting at verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest be her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust said. I want you to focus on verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out, and hear this, day and night to him? Day and night. So when we see the prayer vine come across, if you guys are on the prayer vine, or a friend asking for prayer. And I I do this myself at times. I'm busy. I check my email periodically through the day. And there's a prayer vine request. And sometimes I'm so busy that I just scroll by it. Sometimes I'm, I guess, less busy where I might say a quick prayer. But it's not always from my heart. It's more completing a task. And I do try later to remember those prayers when I'm actually dedicating time to bring those prayers back to the Lord. But this is day and night. I've gone through some stuff lately, over the last few years, stuff that probably the only person in the room here is Brian that knows all of them. I've put in some serious prayer time. And I know when it's involving my wife, like this past surgery or the cancer that I had a while back and various other things, I know my prayers are different than when I'm praying sadly for you guys. And it shouldn't be. We should have the same love for each other as we do for the ones that are hurting, that need prayer. They're coming to us because they were led to believe that we were prayer warriors, that we're warriors for Christ, that we're warriors for them. You have to be willing. Brian brought up last Sunday something along the line that some of us will be willing to step in front of a bullet or something along that. And sometimes I think that's easier, having the desire to be the hero, because it's in the here and now, it's visible, which is all great. But are you willing to be the hero where nobody's watching? Are you willing to sacrifice your day? We're not here, and I get it. There are things in this world that we want, and there's nothing wrong with having things and succeeding and all of that. I mean, I'm the first one to tell you that we have stuff. We're financially in a good place, and so on and so forth. But that's not why we're here. Our priority should be our relationship with God. Our priority should be aligning ourselves, being allies with the common purpose and cause for the lost, for each other, to, as Aaron and, I always forget the other guy's name, Aaron, lifted Moses' arms. Have a spiritual mindset. Matt talked about the wiles of the devil and the principalities and all those things. It is so heartbreaking to see, and I'm guilty, to come into this building and everything just seems, can be so superficial. There's no depth. And maybe you've got some friends that you've got a really tight relationship. I get that. Jesus had 12. And we have our circles, and we probably can't handle 12. But we're still supposed to be united in Christ. We're still called to be united. And as Brian said, not in uniformity, but we still should be united in the sense that we're willing to sacrifice our time and be those prayer warriors. Listening, being willing to listen. We got the story of Job. Before they started tearing him apart, they sat there and they listened, and they kept their mouth shut. That takes patience. Sometimes lots of it. Back in the beginning, I Wikipedia says a warrior is a person specializing in combat or warfare. I'm challenging you, make these your specialty in warfare. This should be our specialty. You don't have to be a door kicker, but you should be a warrior for prayer, a warrior to make disciples, to pour into people. There's nothing like intercessory prayer. I can attest to that. I've had, and I pray for everyone who's ever prayed for me, for blessings and thanks and all of that, for Jody as well. I have friends in Colorado and Tennessee and wherever, and plus in the church family here. Prayer works, especially when you have dedicated people who are willing to put the time in. And really bring it from your heart, not just a check on a box. These are part of the cost Jesus was talking about. Not just getting picked on or hated. These are not easy tasks. It takes true dedication, sacrifice, and hardcore focus. It takes bloodstained allies to help develop a Jesus-type warrior mentality. We wrestle with things we can't see, but that's not true. We see the carnage every day, the evidence of the principalities. Maybe I'm speaking to people who get it, those who see the evidence, the proof. If so, great. Take this as confirmation you are not alone, and there are men ready to go shoulder to shoulder through, shoulder to shoulder with you through the door. I want you to think about that for a second. Typically, when you see TV shows or anybody that's been in the military or any sort of training, the first guy goes through the door. Silence your phones. The first guy goes through the door. He's already exposed, potentially dead, because now his back is turned. And by the time the second guy gets through, that's why it's so critical that they go bang, bang, back to back. We train it differently. We both go through the door at the same exact time, covering each other's back the entire time. That's what we should be doing, being willing to go through the door together. Now, those guys that go through first, wow. Just knowing that as soon as they turn the corner, their back is exposed. Relying on the other guy to get in there stupid fast. I don't want that. I want to know that I got guys that are willing to go through the door with me. And I know there are some here, and that's partly my fault for not being more accessible, I guess. But I think it's crucial that we, I'm probably speaking more to myself. I'm fairly closed until I get to know somebody. Maybe a lot of you guys are that way as well. That's probably why we all go to this particular church. We got to find a way to break that mold. We got to find a way to initiate, be willing to initiate, come out of our comfort zone and initiate that relationship. Because I don't know what some of you go. I've met you, I've talked to you a couple of times. I don't have a clue to the things that you're dealing with. But yet you come here every Sunday, you're here at men's breakfast. And me being an elder in this church, shame on me for not making sure I knew what he needs prayer for. Same with Shane. Actually, most of you guys here, referring to myself. You know, Ron a little bit, Brian a little, Sean definitely, Brian, Pastor Brian that is, Matt very little, but definitely more than a lot of you guys here. And I'm not going to battle for you the way I should be. You're not going, potentially going to battle for me the way you should be. If you're not one of those who doesn't see it, then I ask that you ask God to reveal those things to you. Get in the fight. I'm going to read Ephesians, if you would go there with me, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Brian's mentioned a few times about asking for a fresh filling every day, first thing in the morning. I think this is equally as important. A military guy, a police guy, old Roman soldiers, Greek soldiers, they put on their iron, their armor, their helmets, their chest breastplates, their shin guards, whatever it is, before they go to battle. We go into a world that's at war every day. I pray this every so often, nowhere near as much as I should. I do pray to be filled every day. But if we don't put this stuff on in the morning, if we're not reading this, taking the time to read this every morning, or at least have it as a thought, you're going unprepared. You're going into a battle that you're not even ready for. You don't know what's going to happen at work. You don't know what's going to happen on the way to work, or on the way back to work, or when you get home, or wherever, whatever it is you do. As Matt Foster said, we are at war, and it's time that we act like it. I'm going to end in a prayer in this book as well, so bear with me, because I'm going to have to read it. And then you guys can be about your day, or we can talk about this, or whatever you want to do. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I cannot withstand the temptations that come my way without your power and strength. I cannot handle the lions that come my way without your guidance, wisdom, and insight. Empower me to have a warrior heart. Today I'm going to put on your full armor and withstand all the power of Satan and his demons. I now put on the helmet of salvation. I thank you for saving me, healing me, and releasing me from the dominion of darkness. I praise you that I am a new creation in Christ, and that the old is passed away. Renew my mind with the truth that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I put on the breastplate of righteousness which protects my heart. I thank you that I have a new heart, a loving heart, a soft heart. Lord, guide me in my motives and purposes and relationships. Watch over my heart to love you with all my heart, and to love my neighbors with the same heart that I love myself. I put on the belt of truth and ask you to speak to me from your word, the Bible. Empower me to believe truth and stand on truth today. Jesus, I pick up the shield of faith and ask you to enlarge my faith. Use my faith to extinguish the temptations and strategies of the enemy. Increase my faith to trust you and believe in you. Even when struggles come my way, Holy Spirit, I pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and read it today. I will love your Word and obey what you are saying to me. I will let the Scriptures be the first and last word to me on matters of faith and practice. Lastly, Father, I shod my feet with the gospel of peace. I may be able, may I be a peacemaker in all my relationships. Guide me into situations where I can model and present the Prince of Peace to this world. I now stand in your armor for this day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask this prayer to fall on these men. I pray that it will make a difference in their life. I pray that they are spiritually prepared for what's at hand. Please lay it on all of our hearts that we would be worshiper warriors, that we would have a warrior mindset for your people and for the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.